Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. First, we've already had nominations for worst governor of all time. Eliot Spitzer, Evan Meacham of Arizona. And here's another nominee.
Hello, this is Marianne from Rhode Island, nominating Edward DePreet of Rhode Island, who not only was sent to jail on corruption charges, then as soon as he got out, there was a long, long battle to claim his state pension. Thank you.
What is it about governors? It's kind of a question we're asking. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Nominate yours, if you like. MyTake@thetakeaway.org. Go as far back in history as you want, or just use the many, many contemporary examples. So until yesterday, South Carolinians were up at night over the whereabouts of their governor. They had no idea where he was. Yesterday, we learned he'd actually been in Argentina, and he stepped to the podium yesterday afternoon and explained what was going on.
I've been unfaithful to my wife. I developed a relationship with which started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina.
The shockwaves reverberated throughout South Carolina and within the GOP. Joining us now is Mark Quinn, host of South Carolina ETV and Radio's public affairs program, The Big Picture. He joins us from Columbia. Mark, thanks for being with us.
John, it's my pleasure.
I mean, you know, I guess I take a devilish pleasure in these kinds of falls from grace from the state houses. I mean, I remember the Eliot Spitzer case. We had, great interest in the Blagojevich scandal. What's going on in South Carolina as you wake up to this news?
There will be a lot of people in this town and all across this state who have this sort of devilish side of them that, are happy to see this. He didn't have a whole lot of friends in government here, and that sounds strange, you know, because the man it was very popular for a long time with the people out here. But this stimulus battle, which really sucked all the life out of the room in terms of any other debate this spring, really put him in a tough light because, you know, at the end of the day, we were going to pay for that money no matter what. And he was still up there saying, well, we shouldn't take it. But the rest of the people were saying, well, but we're going to have to pay for it. Might as well get it.
Well, Mark, he explicitly referred to his debate over trying to resist taking federal stimulus money and how difficult that was for him when he spoke yesterday. Listen.
I talked about the profound frustrations that I felt over this last legislative session in the battle that was in place with regard to the stimulus package, the $700 million in play. And how at an emotional level, I found it exhausting.
Mark Quinn, is he blaming $700 million for his affair in Argentina?
I don't think he is. I will put it to you like this. If I look at what he's been doing for the last 5 months, just with this battle, a ferocious, you know, hand-to-hand combat battle with the legislature over the stimulus money. And this battle he must have been waging either internally or with his wife at home over this issue of his infidelity, I don't know how he had a chance to keep it all together. I mean, he looked like a broken man yesterday. He did not look like the leader that I was used to seeing for the last 6.5 years.
Comment on the reference you made a moment ago that he didn't have any friends in government at the end, because that was certainly the case for Eliot Spitzer, that whatever you thought about his morals and his judgment, in the end, he was a very lonely fellow when he finally stepped away. And again, there's no indication that Sanford is going to step away, right?
Well, now, right now, I think there's going to be a lot of calls in certain corners for that. He doesn't have a whole lot of support right now from people internally in the GOP saying, okay, he's got to stay no matter what. I will say that, you know, over the last 6.5 years, he's been rather abrasive to the legislators. It's been my way or the highway. There hasn't been a whole lot of constructive dialogue. He's not a good politicker. And that's one of the things I've always just been curious about with him. He doesn't claim to even like government, but yet he has been in government for most of his professional life. But he's not a very good job of going up to somebody, backslapping and say, hey, let's work this out. Not his way.
We talked with a reporter, a woman reporter in the state last hour, and she was saying that on some level, him appearing so vulnerable and broken made it dramatic, not gleeful, and there was nobody really licking their chops over his fall. There was, for some, a sense of real tragedy here.
Absolutely. And if you look on the state.com's newspaper website today, they've listed these very personal private emails that they've exchanged together, that he has written to this woman in Argentina, that she's written back to him. and it sounds and comes off like a cheap Harlequin romance novel, unfortunately. But it really puts it in a whole different light. I honestly think at the end of the day that Governor Sanford's in love with this woman and has really struggled with that, whether that's with his wife and four boys. Yeah, it is a tragedy.
And the shockwaves continuing to reverberate throughout South Carolina, and the focus on the headlines out of South Carolina this morning. Mark Quinn, host of South Carolina ETV and Radio's public affairs program, The Big Picture. Thanks for joining us from Columbia, South Carolina.
My pleasure.
And our partners at the New York Times.